One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow. Roll with the punches. You staring at your old photographs, walking around your neighborhood, gotta tear it in half. Only one way you can clear your.
Hey, you gotta roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. Girlfriend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. Coming at you from the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 South Western Avenue. We're brought to you by Local 150, Sheehy Funeral Home, Cork and Kerry, Fox's Pizza, Flood Brothers, and Guinness. Guinness is good for you. Oh, what a show we got tonight. We got a great crowd here tonight. I think they're all here to see Eddie Grunauer. Yeah! Ah, this is fabulous. All right. We're going to have, after Eddie's interview, we're going to do some audience participation that I'm going to need you guys for, so I'm glad you're here. Okay, Eddie. Your reputation precedes you. I must have gotten 10 emails today from friends who are, and they're here, God bless them, who are fans of yours. You grew up in Queen of Martyrs.
Correct.
26 years with the Chicago Fire Department.
That's correct.
Now, guys from Queen of Martyrs usually don't go to De La Salle. What happened there?
I couldn't get into any other school.
Oh, okay. Good answer. I studied criminal justice at Lewis University, public safety. You started out as a Cook County Sheriff's Police, is that right?
I was with the Sheriff's Department in the Electronic Monitoring Division. I was a civilian. I wasn't sworn personnel.
Okay.
And we would monitor the comings and goings.
You keep tabs on those dirt bags that have the things on their ankle, right?
That is correct. Okay. That is correct.
Okay. And then you're a juvenile probation officer, speaking of dirt bags. Yeah, you met a lot of them there.
We had our share of, undesirables.
And then you got on with the fire department.
That's correct.
So while you were doing that, were you waiting in line? Or, I mean, what did you?
Yeah.
Order? Yeah. Oh.
I
okay.
mean, obviously, I wasn't sitting by the phone because I took the test in 1985.
Wow.
And I didn't get called until 94.
Holy cow.
So when I did get called, I was working with the county, and my dad says, "Oh, well, you're not going to take that job, are you?" I said, "Excuse me?"
Yeah. One day on, 2 days off.
Yeah, I definitely am taking that job.
Good. Well, we're all glad that you did. Now you're the lieutenant of Engine 112 here in Chicago. Interesting thing is 9/11, you got very involved in that. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Obviously, the events of 9/11 that happened on a Tuesday. And I was at home because I was expecting to get called for overtime.
Yeah.
So I'm watching TV in the morning at 7:30 in the morning, and obviously it's all across the news.
Sure.
And I'm seeing this high rise.
Everybody remembers where they were that day.
I'm seeing this high rise on fire, and I work in at that time I'm in Lincoln Park.
Oh yeah.
And I got a lot of high rises, and I'm thinking to myself, what the heck would I do there?
Yeah.
So anyhow,
and those firemen showing up, and they were running up the stairs while everybody else was running down.
Yeah, it was tragic, obviously. So then the following Monday, myself and about 8 other guys, we went out there.
No kidding.
Yeah, so we drove out there. We got pulled over doing 104 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So the cops were like, "Okay, we know what you're doing. We're in Ohio," and the cop said, "You know what, we're going to give you a police escort."
No kidding.
"To the state line."
Yeah.
And they did that at 90 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And then we got to the Pennsylvania state line, and they were like, "See you later.
On your own."
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, have a good time.
Yeah.
So then we get to, we're going through New Jersey, and again, we're doing 95 miles an hour, and the cops are coming up behind us. We're like, "Oh, man, they got us again."
Yeah.
No. He went right by us like we were standing still.
Oh, no kidding.
We're like, oh, Jersey's great. So then we got to New York. It was at night, and we went right to Ground Zero. And
how many guys were there? Six of you?
I think there was eight of us.
Did you have your gear with you and everything?
Yeah, we had our gear with us. And the way they had it set up, there were three layers of security.
Oh, yeah.
So you had to get through the New York City police, and then you had to get through the U.S. Army.
Oh, yeah.
And then you had to get through the FBI.
Oh, yeah.
So we didn't have any credentials other than our fire coats that said Chicago Fire Department.
Yeah.
So they let us go in, and the way they set it up was there was one way into Ground Zero and one way out. And we got there at like midnight.
Wow.
And the New Yorkers were lined up along this. It was like a catwalk.
Yeah.
You know, they had fences up, and it was about a one-block walk to get in.
Yeah.
And they're all cheering as you're coming in.
Oh, no kidding.
And, you know, we would go. We worked till about 5 in the morning. And you were basically, it was just bucket brigade. You were putting remains, not bodily remains, but just remains of what was left of the buildings into 5-gallon buckets.
And handing them down?
Hand them down, all the way to, there was a barge on the river where they had a thing that would sift through looking for bone fragment or any other stuff. So we would go each day to Ground Zero at night because during the day it got to be kind of a PR thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, celebrities are showing up, TV, and everything's got to stop, you know. So we would go at night. But it was interesting. We were coming home the first night. We were walking back to our hotel, and we saw a cop. And it's 4 in the morning.
Yeah. It's in Manhattan.
Yeah. We're staying right by the Virgin Records thing right there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Times Square.
Times Square. We're staying right there at a hotel. So we asked this cop, hey, where can we get a beer? He goes, jump in. So he throws us in his car. He takes us to a liquor store.
Yeah.
Pounds on the door. Some guy comes back from the back room. The cop goes, sell these guys some beer.
Oh, everything else was closed.
Everything's closed. Because 4 in the morning.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Sell these guys some beer. So we got some beer, and we stood in the middle of whatever street that is by the Virgin Records.
Are you kidding?
Stood in the middle of the street drinking.
Just cracked open the beers and drank them. Yeah.
And the next night, we got picked up by guys from the streets in San.
Oh, yeah.
And we gave them the same thing. Where can we get a beer?
Yeah.
This guy takes us to a restaurant. Yeah. The restaurant's closed. People are in there cleaning up.
Yeah.
Guy from streets and San pounds on the door. He goes, let these guys in.
Wow.
You know, we had our fire gear.
Yeah.
So we go in there and we sat in this bar until about 7 in the morning. So that wasn't such a bad night.
Yeah.
Or morning.
Yeah.
You know, it was the last time I ever drank in the morning.
Sure.
Yep. But just the work that was going on there was incredible. I mean, it was such
God bless you guys.
I mean, it was one of those worst of times, best of times type thing. You know, the country really came together at that time.
I also went back in June of 2002 and rode your bikes there.
Yeah.
How long? That's a long ride on a bike.
Really?
From here to New York.
I didn't know.
How many miles is it?
It's like 950 miles.
Oh, my God. How many guys went on that?
So we had, I believe there was 21.
Yeah.
So right after 9/11, a couple guys from my firehouse decided to put this thing together.
Yeah.
So I had...
Was it a fundraising thing?
It was a fundraising thing, and we were going to make money. You had to raise money to go. But when I first signed on, I signed on to be as part of the support group.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't that avid a bike rider.
Yeah.
But it was right at that time that my mom was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, wow.
So I said to myself, if she can deal with the garbage she's going through, I can get my ass in shape. And, you know, so I started working out, sitting on a stationary bike over the winter. And then when the weather breaks, you can go out and ride on the street. So then I called the guys in charge. I said, hey, I want to be a rider instead of a support, you know.
Yeah.
So... That was another amazing experience. Each stop along the way, the generosity of people, just John Q. Public, it was amazing. So we eventually showed up in New York, and they had a big party at a firehouse.
Oh, that's great.
And we ended up having about $110,000.
Oh, really? Roy? Yeah. Yeah, raise that.
Yeah, yeah, to give to the families of
terrific.
Firemen that passed 9/11.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy experience.
Now, you've been a fireman for 26 years. 26 years?
Yeah.
What's the interesting, what house are you working at? Where is that at now?
Right now I'm at Engine 112, which is on Damon and 3800 North.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm straight
You're
west
the hipster
of...
hipster neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah, straight west of Wrigley Field,
yeah.
About a mile.
I think Billy lives right near there. Yeah, yeah.
But I was at Halston Diversey for 16 years.
Oh, wow.
Right down in Lincoln Park.
Yeah,
so
that's the hipster neighborhood.
Yeah, that was kind of it's a transient neighborhood, you know, a lot of
college
kids and a lot of street bums, and then you got the lakefront and... You know, a lot of interesting stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of interesting stuff going on down there.
You got a rowdy crowd here.
Yeah, I know. They're uneducated.
Oh, boy. All right, so any interesting fires you've been in? Scary, funny,
well,
crazy?
You know, they're all scary because you're not supposed
you
to really
know.
Be in there. But, you know, I'm not going to sit up here and tell fire stories. But, you know.
You're not. What the hell do you think we got you on the show for?
Yeah, you know. I know Mike McGrath back there doesn't want to hear any fire stories.
Okay.
But, you know, I'd rather focus on a couple. Like, we had a call one time for.
Focus on whatever you want, Eddie.
We had a call one time for a heart attack.
Oh, yeah.
And it was at St. Athanasius Church right on the corner of Lincoln and Wellington. Well, there was a girl getting married.
Oh, I saw. Yeah.
And her father.
Yes. He got to grab her at the wedding, right?
He had to grab her at the wedding, and fortunately, we brought him back. And it was, that was a long time ago, too. That was probably in 99.
Yeah.
And you didn't save too many people with CPR back then.
Yeah.
But just for the grace of God, that maybe it was because it was in a church.
Yeah.
But... that was something that was, you know, really nice to be a part of, so that
you know, I had
that girl didn't have to deal with that the rest of her life.
I had a link to that story. You were at the Chicago Fire game. You were like the firefighter of the evening, or whatever.
Yes,
what was
yes.
that all about?
A buddy of mine's daughter worked in PR for
Chicago Fire.
Fire.
Yeah.
And she was just looking for somebody to. Throw a face up on the Jumbotron. So that's all that was.
Well, it was good.
Could have picked a better face. I don't know.
That one to fit on the screen.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's got vision problems.
But that's a heck of a story. Do you remember the guy's name?
I don't.
No.
No. But you know, you just didn't want that girl to be thinking about that the rest of her life.
On her anniversary, the
you know,
day my dad kicked the bucket.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah, so that was
that was a good story.
That was good. Yeah.
Now you have roots in. Oh, I'll tell you a funny story. You know, everybody who recommended you, I said, guy's got to be Irish, and they said his mother's a dooley. His mother was a dooley. Okay. And I put out this email blast, and that was the subject line. His mother was a dooley.
Right, right.
And this guy, a friend of mine in Ireland on Facebook today, said Mike Monahan, who lives in Galway, he's probably listening to this. He said, it reminds me of the girl in Ireland who her name was Katie Dunn, and she was Dunn before she got married and Dunn again afterwards.
Oh, wow. And that was the only time she was Dunn.
She married Dunn again, yeah. She was done and then done again. Anyway, so that my apologies to Mrs. Dooley.
Yeah.
Is your mom still alive?
She is not.
Oh, that's a shame. No. God rest her soul.
But her sister...
Neither your dad, Bud.
Yeah, Bud passed as well.
What did Bud do for a living?
Bud was with R.R. Donnelly.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, he started there when he turned 18 and was there his whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that you have long South Side roots... Obviously.
Yeah, yeah. The Irish side came over like right after the Chicago Fire.
Okay.
My mom's sister's in Ireland. She's in Dublin.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. She's quite accomplished. She's the foremost authority on medical ethics over there.
No kidding.
And her husband, who just passed, was the dean of philosophy at University College Cork. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, they were lecturers, and he's...
Do you ever go back?
I've been back there three times.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
It is great, isn't it? It's a preview of heaven.
Yeah.
But you also have Tipperary. Well,
that's where the family originated.
And what about these Austrian roots?
Yeah, my dad's parents came from Oberdorf in Burgenland.
Okay.
Which is southern Austria, southeastern, not far from Hungary. And my grandmother actually spoke German and Hungarian because they were so close to the border.
Yeah.
But that's another beautiful place.
You know, what they say, when you get a German and an Irish together, you get a disciplined drunk.
Yeah.
That's an old joke. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Any more stories about your career on the Chicago Fire Department?
Well, there's
a lot of disciplined drunks here tonight. Yeah.
Well, we had we've had quite a lot of fun along the way.
Yeah.
We were at the firehouse one night, and the Hidden Shamrock bar is
yeah, I know where it is. Yeah.
Straight across the street.
Yeah.
So Sigourney Weaver, the actress.
Oh yeah.
She's over there doing some kind of press junket.
Yeah.
For some movie or play or whatever.
Yeah.
So she comes walking into the firehouse.
Oh.
She says, "I want to slide the pole."
Oh, what does that mean?
Yeah. Which one?
Oh, thank you. Oh, we got one of those. We'll give it to you later. Yeah.
But she came right in and she said, I can't believe there's a firehouse across it. Can I slide the pole?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So one of the guys takes her up to the second floor and she's
did
tall.
You guys grease
she's
like, it up beforehand?
She's
or
like 6 foot one.
She is tall.
She's a big girl.
She's elegant.
Yeah. And she comes sliding down
the
pole.
Well, she's Ghostbusters, Sigourney Weaver. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was when she was working out.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But,
did she stop?
But, she slid the pole, and boom, she
that
walked right
it?
Out the door. That was it.
Did she have an
she
entourage
took a couple,
with her?
She took a, no, she had took like some guy that was her press agent or
oh,
whatever
no
the
kidding.
Hell he was. I
yeah,
don't know.
Yeah.
But she came in, slid the pole, and she was out in 12 seconds.
Her dad was a big executive with NBC.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember his name. But probably she was lovely.
Mr.
She,
Weaver?
Yeah. Yeah. She was, it wasn't Charlie Weaver. That's Cliff Arquette. She was great in Ghostbusters, and a very accomplished actress. And
yeah,
I got no beef with her. Did she give everybody a kiss or anything? Or you know,
well, you know,
she's flirting with you
just
guys.
Just a couple
come
guys.
On. Yeah,
you know, there might have been a little pat on the butt or
okay.
something for somebody. I got another good one for you, Julie.
All right, good.
So we're at the Air and Water Show.
Yeah.
So we bring the rig down to the Air and Water Show. There's 500,000 people on the lakefront.
Yeah. So we mean the rig, the truck,
the fire engine.
Yeah.
So we're just sitting there watching the Air and Water Show. There's a million people around. And this guy comes up to us. He goes, "Hey, there's a body in the water."
Oh.
We're like, "What?" "Yeah, there's a body in the water." So here we are with all these people around. We're trying to discreetly go over to the, you know, to the shore. It's right off the rocks there at Fullerton.
Yeah.
And we had a guy on our rig that was a lifeguard.
Yeah.
So he jumps in the water and he pulls up a body.
Wow.
So now we're trying
now
to...
Now this is in the daytime?
This is broad daylight. It's noon.
Yeah.
You know, it's noon on Saturday of Air and Water Show. There's people everywhere.
Yeah.
And we're trying to discreetly slide this body into a body bag. And, you know, we're just using bodies as cover. You know, and we're, you know, trying to call on the radio and without saying anything, you know, because, you know, the radio was monitored by all these super fire fans and everything, you know. So we're just, we need an ambulance. We've got somebody that's a little sick, you know. Well, this guy was in the water for a couple days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that made for an interesting Air and Water Show.
And did anybody notice?
Well, I'm sure somebody had to. There's no way you could hide it from that many people.
Yeah. Wow.
But that was kind of interesting.
Usually they blowed up, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
You don't want to get too gross on a radio show.
Okay. Oh, well, don't we? You don't know what show you're on. So that stood out in your, and what's your day like? You do have two, what's your side job? You have a side job?
I don't have a side job
honest
anymore.
Honest to God?
Yeah. I used to ref for a long time.
Oh yeah, you were a high school ref and a coach. Tell us about that.
I refed high school and college football and basketball. So I started reffing when I was in high school. I started doing intramurals, and then I went to college. That was my job in college, was to ref.
Where were you at college?
I went to Lewis.
Okay.
Out in Real Millville.
Yeah.
So that was my job. I reffed whatever sport was in season.
Yeah.
And then after I got out of college, I started doing high school, and then did college, and then
and
back
to high
school.
And you did it to make, they paid the refs, right?
Yeah, you get
yeah.
paid.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but it was
fun.
You know, you're not making a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, on a Friday night, drive up to Loyola High School, you know, take you 2 hours to get there, and they give you a check for $52. Boy, you know, I could have done four grade school games at Mount Greenwood and been in my backyard in 4 hours.
Well, you said college. What college games?
I was
did you
doing
do?
Division III, you know, St. Xavier's, St.
Oh,
Ambrose.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's legit.
You
yeah.
know, we'd go over to Valpo. There yeah. were, you know, like one double A or something. So.
Indiana, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Met
Mike
a lot
Sheehan
of,
was a ref for a long time.
Yeah, Mike yeah. made it to the big time.
Yeah, yeah. Big Ten. He was a Big
yeah.
Ten ref.
Yeah, yeah right. It's hard to get there. That's you know, that's big business when you get there. They're,
oh, really?
Yeah, they start making money there.
Oh, wow. I didn't
yeah,
know that.
Yeah, there's some money to be had there. But it's,
well,
you know, a lot
how
of
How do you move up
too.
In the referee ranks?
Well, it's a lot like anything else. You know,
who you know?
You got to know somebody, but you got to be good, too.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to have somebody pushing you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you don't just walk in and say, hey, hi, I'm Eddie Grunauer. I want to do the Big Ten. Sure, come on aboard. You know, doesn't work that way. So, you know. It was fun. A lot of
what's your
stuff.
Favorite sport? Football, basketball, what?
As far as officiating?
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to say. Basketball, you're a lot more active and a lot more part of the game.
Yeah.
Football, you've got a lot more discretion. In football, you can throw your flag and change your mind and pick it up and say, we don't have a flag.
Oh.
In basketball, once you blow your whistle, you better have something.
Everything stops. Yeah.
Yeah. You better have something.
Yeah.
So... basketball is a lot more, you know,
did
back
you
and
play
forth.
Did you play any sport in high school?
In high school, I played football for 2 years and baseball for one.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was just always a gym rat.
Yeah, you got to be running back and forth and all that stuff.
Yeah. Something to do.
Well, I remember the, but the refs are always characters, as I recall. You know? Not that I had that much. I didn't get in the games that often. But I know Mike Sheehan did it for a long time.
Oh, yeah. He used to ref us in grade school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember.
And you used to do grade school games as well here?
Yeah.
The other thing is bad these days is the parents are a real pain in the neck, some of them.
Oh, really?
With the official. Wow. Well, look at it.
I never got that.
Tell me about it. Oh, I want to hear about yeah. that. Yeah.
Well, if all these parents' kids were as good as they thought they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
There wouldn't be enough teams in the NBA for them.
Yeah.
You know, it's just this whole club sports and everything, it's just ruined it all.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The parents, since they have money invested now because they're paying for clubs.
Sure.
And with that money, they think they have an entitlement to bitch at the refs.
Yes.
Even when they don't know the rules.
They don't know the game.
They don't know the game
yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
But they're paying $1,200 for little Johnny to play. Well, with that, they think they can say whatever they want.
What do you mean, club? I'm not familiar
you know,
with that.
No, they're not playing for the high school. They're playing for these club teams where they draw kids from all
football,
over.
Football, they do that?
No, no. Oh, basketball, baseball, okay. volleyball,
yeah.
soccer,
oh, wow. yeah.
you know, pickleball, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, everything's club ball now. Everything's club ball. Oh, my kid's got to be on a club team.
You do you know the rules of soccer?
I don't know any rules of soccer.
Okay. I'm glad you're not reffing those, I hope.
No,
okay.
no, yeah. no. Henry Barsh is here for all those. He's got all the rules for
but
soccer.
But you were the guy at the fire game. You know, that was cool.
But yeah, but...
You had no idea what was going on.
I don't know anything about
yeah.
soccer.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, how many guys work for you? You're the lieutenant. Are you like?
There's five guys on a rig. So
oh,
it's the,
okay.
the officer, the engineer, who's the driver.
Yeah.
And then three firemen.
Okay.
So I'm just in charge of those four guys.
Well, that's enough.
That's plenty.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
plenty.
And so you just take the other 2 days off and hang out, or what are you up to? You look like you're in good shape.
I play a lot of golf.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
In the winter, I go to weather where I can play golf.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, who got you on the show? Somebody, was it Marty Doherty?
No. Well, Marty's here.
Oh, is he?
Danny Shine.
Oh, Danny Shine. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Danny Shine. I was having a couple beverages with him, and he said, "I got to call Hooley."
Oh, you know. I'm glad he did. Yeah. Look at the crowd you got. It's incredible. Yeah. You probably get a scholarship here at a Cork and Carry.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. All right. Well, any other final stories you want to tell? Got a few more minutes here.
Yeah. I was at the Holy Name Cathedral fire.
Oh, yeah.
That was interesting.
When was that?
Oh, boy. I mean, we almost lost Holy Name Cathedral. The first guys in there did a landmark job.
Oh, you mean stopping it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had to go all the way up into the ceiling. There was a catwalk, like, for guys to change the light and everything.
Sure. Yeah.
And then we had to change shifts right in the middle of the fire.
How did the fire start there?
A candle. No idea. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It had to be something electrical for it to be up that high.
Yeah,
you know, it had to be something in some wiring.
Yeah.
But that was an interesting save. It was freezing cold. It was a nightmare day.
Yeah.
But we changed shifts right on the scene at about 6:30 in the morning, and I was an engineer at the time, so that person's in charge of sending the water. You know.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to make sure that the water lines don't freeze. But that was interesting. I thought we were going to lose that thing.
Oh, that would have been tragic.
Yeah. But they did a great job saving that church.
Now, where's your firehouse again?
It's at 3800 Damon.
North
Damon. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a long drive every day going up there.
I don't go there every day, Hooley.
Oh, every... That's right. I forgot you're a fireman. Yeah, yeah. And when you do go, you stay overnight.
I spend the night, yeah.
Thank God.
They give me a bed and we eat real well and.
There's a great... do you have relatives on the fire department?
One brother, he's retired.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I've met a lot of firemen on this show, many of them brothers, and there's great camaraderie in the fire department.
It is. I'm still great friends with the guys that I worked at my firehouse on the very first day.
Oh, no kidding.
You know, yeah. So I got a good one if you got time for
it. Yes, absolutely.
Not my first day, probably my third or fourth day.
Yeah.
You know, they like to jag guys around a little bit
on their first day.
When they're new.
Yeah.
So they say, hey, we're going to do a drill, and we're going to do the rescue harness, which is a thing that if somebody's like down in a hole, you can send the rope down.
And they climb into it.
And they strap it around their legs, and it goes around your chest, and you put a safety hitch on it.
Yeah.
And they pull you up out of the hole.
Yeah.
So they said, well, we're going to practice that. Well, we didn't have a hole.
Yes.
So they put the thing on me, and then they ran the rope over to the ladder.
Yeah, up at top. Yeah.
And they raised it up.
Yes.
Then they raised me about 20 feet over Halsted.
Oh, wow.
And then they went in and had lunch.
Ah, and left you there?
They left me there. They left me there hanging over Halsted.
Oh, man.
So John Q Public's walking by. They're all taking pictures. It was before cameras on cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just standing there over Halsted. I'm thinking, these son of a guns, they're in there having hot dogs and hamburgers.
They're laughing.
Oh, they're laughing. Yeah. So I figured, all right, I got to get them back.
Yeah.
So I faked like I fainted.
In the harness?
Yeah, because this harness, after a while, it's kind of restrictive on your chest.
Yeah.
So I went completely limp. I controlled my breathing so they couldn't see the rise and fall of the chest and everything. And I'm completely...
Oh, you're fake. Yeah.
So they come out.
They're doing the dead man thing.
Yeah. Hey, Grunauer, you know, and I'm...
Nothing.
I'm dead as a board. So bring them down, this son of a... So they bring me down. I get about 4 feet off the ground. I go, bah! And I use some colorful language, too. But I should have waited till I got down.
Oh, yeah, because they still got you.
They put me right back up. Yeah. And then they went in and had dessert. Yeah. Then they went in and had dessert.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So I'm out hanging over Halsted.
You had to push it.
I had to push the envelope.
Oh, that's funny. That's great.
But now if you did that, you'd probably get charges on you.
Oh, some, yeah.
You know, somebody would file some charge against you for harassing or some, you know.
Eddie, this has been great. I got to tell you, thanks so much. And we want to tell you how much we admire and salute you and risking your life every day, or every other day.
Every third day.
Every third day.
And I could get hit by a golf ball.
That's right.
You know.
Dangerous out there. And our best to all the Dooleys as well in Ireland.
Yeah.
They can hear this, by the way, on Global Irish Radio. We're on Global Irish Radio as well, all over the world.
Tell my Aunt Dolores to...
Yeah, tell her to tune in. Hi, Dolores. Thank you for bringing everybody down. Give him a hand, wasn't he? He was great. Yeah. All right, thank you,
Well,
Eddie.
Thank you, Hooli.
God bless you, pal.
Thanks for all the work you do with, with the Irish.
We're going to take a little break here on Hibernian Radio. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Hey, everybody. This is Charlotte Houlihan. Don't touch that dial. My grandpa will be right back some more Hibernian Radio. He said something about seeing a man about a horse. Sounds like I'm actually going to get that pony after all.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
And we are back on Hibernian Radio. Oh, man, that Eddie Grunauer, what a great guest he was. And a lot of fun. So we thank him and we salute him and his family and his friends for being here tonight. God bless them all and thank them. We're going to be calling on them to join us for our Who Cares later in the show. But I want to remind everybody, we, you know, Hibernian Media, Hibernian Radio, we've been working on this film about the father of the Chicago flag for over a year now. You can learn more about it at weepingjim.com. No, weepingjim.org. And it's about Alderman James Kearns, the old 31st Ward, and he came from Ireland. here, landed here at the age of 13 in 1884, went to St. Ignatius, went on to Kent School of Law, became a lawyer and alderman, county treasurer, and clerk of the municipal court. But his claim to fame is that he was the guy who introduced the legislation that Chicago should have their own flag. So as Irish Americans, we are claiming that. We are claiming the Chicago flag for the Irish diaspora, and that's what the film is all about. Go to the website, weepingjim.org. But next week, actually it'll be up by Saturday tonight when you're listening. You can go to our Indiegogo page and learn more and look at some great video. Liam Durkin wrote a great ballad, the legend, Weeping Jim. That open. So go to our Indiegogo page. Indiegogo Weeping, In Search of Weeping Jim is the name of it. Check it out. We'd love to have you join us. Throw in a few bucks, anything. Your name will be, you give us some money, we'll put your name in the credits of the film. And it's going to be an adventure. And it's going to be finished. We're going to premiere the film in September. We'd like you all to be a part of it. And then our next one is Chicago's Irish Cops. But we want to finish this one first. So go to weepingjim.org. Go to the Indiegogo campaign for In Search of Weeping Jim. And you can be a part of our movie now. You know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue, Ken's. See, Ken, look in the window. Ken's, Wrong's, Hart's. Cork and Kerry, any of these great Irish saloons, I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, "Hey, Hooley, who died?" Daniel Joseph Shula, only 56. Those who knew him best will remember his charm, humor, and love of everything Irish. Danny was a man who understand the value of listening to the silence of the world. He loved fishing and relished his work for the Department of Natural Resources in the Porcupine Mountains Wilderness State Park. He is survived by his wife and lifelong friend, Katie, his sisters and brothers, many aunts, uncles, cousins, and many nieces and nephews who knew him as Uncle Buck. So say a little prayer for Danny Shula. God rest his lovely soul. Also today, believe it or not, is Florence Nightingale's birthday. I don't know if it's her birthday or the day she died. She died a long time ago. But it's Nurses Day. Today is Nurses Day, so that's what we're celebrating. Also, a good old pal of mine died. He doesn't have his obit up yet, but it will be in the papers next week. Joe Howard. Joe was an old pal of Peter Nolan and I. He was Pete's producer over at WMAQ. Just a terrific guy. Sorry to see him go, but he died in his sleep, which is what I want to do. So, Joe, you've left a good example for all of us. James Kehoe passed away last week. The story goes he was only a little bit of trouble. Jim graduated from St. Mel High School. Shortly thereafter, he met Doreen, the love of his life. They married in 1958. In 1964, they built their home in Elk Grove where they raised their daughters. Jim became Papa Gramps and popped a whole mess of grandchildren. Spent countless hours at baseball diamonds, football fields, basketball courts, dance recitals, inline hockey games, wrestling and gymnastic meets, always cheering on his favorite team, whichever one his grandchild was on. Jim loved storytelling, could bring a story to life with his blue eyes, as wide as saucers, accompanied by elbow jabs to add emphasis. His stories often allowed him to show off his mastery of an Irish brogue, which he delivered with a twinkle in his eye and a smile on his face. Jim was a quintessential people person who enjoyed his many friends, cruises to wonderful tropical places, and bucket list vacations with his daughter. God rest his soul, Jim Kehoe. Marie Celine Lally was a caring wife, mother, grandmother, a great-grandmother, sister, cousin, in-law, mom, and friend. She died at the age of 89. She, while working for Illinois Bell, Marie met Michael Lally, whom she married while he was on leave from the United States Marine Corps, and he was following Mike's tour of Korea. They got married at Camp Lejeune. The young couple settled in Chicago, raising eight children. Thomas, the late Dan, Mary Pat, Kathleen, Helen, Peggy, Michael, and John. In addition to her husband of 69 years, Mike Marie is served by darling sister-in-laws Marie Gaffney and Helen Horn. A resilient matriarch was a humble lover of and defender of life. God bless her. Was blessed to see all eight of her children exceed age 50, a feat of good fortune. She was profoundly faithful. Marie's life bore life's indignities with grace, and she exulted in life's rewards with the generosity and joy. God rest her lovely soul, Marie Celine Lally. John F. Joyce, husband of Bridget, loving father of Mary, John, Edward, and Anne Marie. He was a native of Recess County, Galway, Ireland. I've been there, believe it or not. It's in Connemara. God rest his soul. Recess County, Galway, Ireland. What? Oh, Cooney. Well, we're not going to give Cooney a plug. Come on. Yes, Gino Cooney handled the funeral. Raymond Kelly. Raymond Kelly, also known as Ray Allen, formerly Chicago and Visitation Parish, passed away in Glenbrook, Nevada last week. Ray was born in Chicago to Ann O'Shaughnessy and Edward Kelly and raised by his mother and James Allen. Many of Ray's school pals at Viz may remember him as a Ray Allen, but as he matured and ultimately enrolled at Mount Carmel High School, he decided to keep his birth father's surname. After graduation from Mount Carmel, Ray attended Loyola University of Chicago, served in the U.S. Army as a military police at West Point, and launched his successful career in accounting and taxes. He is survived by his wife of 43 years, Elsie, his children by his first wife, Edie, Blaine, Carrie, Julie, Lisa, and Shira, and all their spouses and partners, his twin sons with Elsie, Liam and Owen, his three stepchildren, Joni, Vin Kane, and PJ, his brothers Kevin and Dennis Allen, and his sister Donna Donnelly. A cornerstone of a large and close-knit family, a lifelong loving son of Irish immigrants, this man of art, science, and travel will be forever missed. God rest his soul, Raymond Kelly. And finally, Kevin P. O'Flynn, age 76, beloved husband of 55 years to Pamela O'Flynn, devoted father of Kathleen, Kelly, and the late Kevin. Just a sensational guy, and his funeral and the arrangements were handled by Sheehan's. Where other eight people go. All right, Billy, we can close up the crypt now, take a little break here at the old Cork and Carry, and we'll be right back after these messages from our friends. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehy's took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
Hey folks, Charlotte Houlihan here. Did you know that Hibernian Radio is now streaming worldwide on Global Irish Radio? Every Saturday night at 7 p.m. or 1 a.m. in Ireland. Yes, the Irish are always way ahead of us. Check it out at globalirishradio.com or capital GIR.ie.
Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth. Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly institution at 99th and Western, as well as in Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. You got the best of both worlds. Still owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose mom and dad, Frank and Teresa, bought the Western location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. They opened the doors in Orland at 73 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. You'll recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, whose great times have been celebrated for generations of Chicagoland Irish. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner, whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza. It's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Beverly at 773-239-3212 or in Orland Park at 708-349-2111. They're proud sponsors of Hibernian Radio and all Irish first responders. Mention this show for a free toothpick. Gotta love that Fox's Pizza.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
While I party, I phone calls are never enough. Oh, I miss your touch, the distance between us.
Get me out of here.
So deep, deep, all the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks where they only spoke Yaki Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bones and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Huh? Can I get you two?
This yeah. is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The mixed deal hit on his teeth.
Oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
Mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome,
crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as Hooli Town.
Hooli Town.
Welcome to Hooli Town. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hooli Town.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
All right, welcome to Hooli Town, everybody. This is the audience participation segment of our show. For those of you who have heard the show before, it's called Who Cares? We go through a series of ridiculous headlines about celebrities, and we want you to join in after each one with Who Cares? You'll get the idea. Just follow my lead. You ready? Ellen DeGeneres will... What? What? Oh, Billy, please give me a hand with this door. Push it, push it, push it, push it, push it, push it, push it. Ellen DeGeneres will end her talk show after 19 seasons.
Who cares?
Now you got it. What's next for Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck as they explore their rekindled romance?
Who cares?
Andra Day opens up about her addiction with porn and sex.
Who cares?
Jennifer Garner is focused on her kids' happiness as Ben Affleck spends time with Jennifer Lopez.
Who cares?
Demi Lovato will search for aliens in a new documentary series.
Who cares?
Scarlett Johansson's receiving a Generation Award at the MTV Movie and TV Awards.
Who cares?
Seth Rogen had epic fail while trying to meet Beyonce.
Who cares?
Goldie Hawn recalls battling depression at the height of her career.
Who cares?
Harry Styles' Brit Award speech leaves fans worried he's losing his British accent.
Who cares?
And finally, Alex Rodriguez is jealous of Ben Affleck after Jennifer Lopez reunion. He wants to meet Andra Day. Get it?
Who cares?
She's the one who's addicted to sex and porn. Yeah!
Okay. Who cares?
One more time. Who cares? Close it up. Push it, push it, push it, push it, push it, push it. Billy, let me get that latch at the top. It's right up here. I'm going to grab it. Okay. Thank you. What a wonderful audience. Thank you so much. Okay. We got a few more jokes to tell, huh? Okay. Now, 3 minutes. All right. Late last fall, the natives of the Ajawanjahaga First Nation Reservation in Grand Bend asked their new chief if the coming winter was going to be cold or mild. Since he was chief in a modern society, he had never been taught the old secrets. When he looked at the sky, he couldn't tell what the weather was going to be like. Nevertheless, to be on the safe side, he told his tribe that the winter was indeed going to be cold and that members of the village should start collecting firewood. Being a practical leader, after several days, he got an idea. He went to the phone booth. He called the Environmental Canada Weather Service and asked, is the coming winter going to be cold? Guy says, it looks like this winter is going to be really quite cold. So the chief went back to his people and told them to collect even more firewood in order to be prepared. A week later, he called the Environmental Canada Weather Service again. Does it look like it's going to be a very cold winter? Yes, the man said. It's going to be a very cold winter. Chief again went back to his people and ordered them to collect more scrap wood, firewood. They could find anything. 2 weeks later, the chief called the Environmental Canada Weather Service again. Are you absolutely sure the winter's going to be very cold? Absolutely. It's looking more and more like it's going to be one of the coldest winters we've ever seen. How can you be so sure? The Indians are collecting firewood like crazy. Okay. Now, here's a little joke. Actually, this is a true story. The Pope came to Chicago, okay? And this guy was assigned to be his driver for the weekend. And he meets the Pope as the Pope's coming off the plane. And he grabs the Pope and says, "All right, Elvis, right this way. Got a nice limo here." "Why, I can't tell this story." He goes, "I got the limo right here, Elvis. And we're going to go downtown." And the Pope says, "I'm not Elvis. I'm the Pope." "Sure, sure, sure. Get in the back there, Elvis." He takes him on a ride, and they go to a restaurant. He says, "Come on in here. We're going to get some lunch, Elvis." He goes, "I'm not Elvis. I'm the Pope." "Sure, you aren't Elvis." He brings him in, and they have a big spread, and the Pope has several drinks and has a blast. And then he says, "Come on. We're going to take you to your whole hotel room. The room is ready now. We'll take you to your bags." And they bring him in to the lobby, and he goes, "Okay, Elvis, these are the people at the front desk. Here, they're going to give you your room." And he goes, "I'm not Elvis, I'm the Pope." "Right, right, give me the key." They get on the elevator. They go upstairs and they go to this huge suite. The driver opens the door and goes, "All right, Elvis, you're going to go in there. I have the lesbian teenage hookers waiting for you. Everything's going to be great. Right this way." And the Pope says, "Well, thank you. Thank you very much." I couldn't resist. Okay, 1 minute. Okay, this is a good one. Two brothers, 6 and 8, were discussing whether the words hell and ass were curse words. They both agreed they were in the Bible, and they didn't believe they were bad words. They decided to try them out on their mom. The 8-year-old went in the kitchen, and he asked mom, "What would you like for breakfast, dear? Some waffles or bacon and eggs?" And the boy responded, "What the hell? Just give me some Cheerios." Hearing the mother smacked him across the face. The 6-year-old witnessed this, slowly entered the kitchen. His mom, in a slam angry voice, said, "And what do you want?" And the boy replied, "Not sure, but you can bet your ass I'm not asking for Cheerios." Okay. One more? No? Okay. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for coming. Next week, we got Fire Chief Pat Kenny, who has written a great book called Behind the Cape. Such a great crowd tonight. Thank you all for coming. What a great audience. Thank you. Every Wednesday night, come on by, and we will see you later. Bye.